Well, please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4, which is an outdoor meeting with all the different things that can happen, disruptions, traffic noise. The buttons have not been very bad. And I think actually the temperature, if it was like it was last week, it's been a lot harder, but it hasn't been bad. And so it's just way to go to outdoor meetings. The light's going off. And here last night, I don't know if any changes were made to the call the lights go off, the lights went off. Now, if the lights go off again, I think I got a flashlight in my pocket. And so hopefully we'll continue on. We'll go to Ephesians chapter number 4, take a text from there. Appreciate all of you being here. Blessed to have every one of you with us. And go try to give something that would be especially good for the young folks. I don't want to preach on something that I preached about it years ago here, and I want to preach on it this evening. And in our atmosphere in America, I think it might be good for some young folks. Last night I was preaching on what has happened to America, and those of us been around for a few years, we've seen a lot of changes in a relatively short time in this country. I don't mean good changes, a lot of bad changes in a relatively short time. And of course, if things don't change, I've been preaching the series over here at the church, the book of Jeremiah, on how to conduct ourselves in a declining nation. And if things don't have, we don't have some good, in fact, some great changes, then I believe that America is going to continue to decline. And so we may see many more changes come in a relatively short time, but God's still on the throne. And you're saved, you're still saved. No matter what happens, you'll still be saved. And so thank the Lord for the fact that we have an anchor and got the Word of God, which is true, to trust in it. And so regardless of what happens with the nation, now we may go through some tribulation. We're not going through the tribulation if we're saved. Some people may say we are. I don't believe it. I believe God's going to call his people out of here. But I don't know, we may go through some tribulation before great tribulation. Tribulation takes place, a 7-year tribulation period. And so, you may see some changes, but put your trust in the Lord. Just be faithful to the Lord no matter what happens. If you will, go to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. And look at this verse with me, if you will. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I'm going to take my text, those first few words. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for the crowd that's gathered here. Lord, you know if there's any on the outside that are listening, perhaps looking, and God, I thank you for good singing that people might on the outside even be hearing. I thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'll help us. I pray that you'll help us to be the testimony. God, I pray that you'll give us the grace so that we can do your will all the way to the end of our little short lives. God, thank you for what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. And once again, that text, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'm going to preach for a little while on this subject. What does God say about cussing? What does God say about cussing? How much corrupt communication should proceed out of our mouths? The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. What kind of communication is supposed to proceed out of our mouths? Notice, if you will, in that verse, the Bible says, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, when you see the word grace, you might think of the general definition of favor, but then there are other things that you might consider: blessing, kindness, goodwill, and you might think about God's people. We are to be edifying others. We're to be building up others. We're to be helping others with our words. We're to be ministering unto others with our words. The pastors, of course, can minister from the pulpit with good words and edify the people. Parents can be ministering to their children, giving good words, and helping their children to be what they ought to be. And so we ought to be edifying, we ought to be helping others, ministering unto others with good words. People, neighbors, lost neighbors, or people out there, it may do them good to see some very good, real Christian examples that use Christian speech and minister to them. And so we are to use our words for the ministering to others and the edification of others. Now, as far as cussing is concerned, I've used that colloquial term as to cover a wide variety of corrupt communication. Now, we may think about, and there are a wide variety of terms and things that are said that are just not right, things that should not be said. If I spent my life completely secluded from the world, and maybe I just was not having contact with the others in the world and of the world, and perhaps I wouldn't have an idea how bad it is out there. But the fact is, it's gotten extremely bad. And sometimes if you're talking to people here in America, you may hear them saying so many things that are ridiculous, things that are filthy, things that are absolutely out of place, things that should not be said in private nor in public. There are so many times where perhaps it's by somebody communicating through social media, or perhaps there's a brother just last night mentioned the news. You may be watching the news. Somebody cuss on the news or say something filthy or off color in the news. There is so much filthy communication in America. You and I that are saved by the grace of God ought to be setting Christian examples by speaking as we ought to speak. As far as corrupt communication is concerned, a man may be a cusser using his corrupt communication, and then sometimes it might be that somebody will come near him and he'll quiet it down a little bit. I worked over here, I've done a variety of different kinds of work, and I worked over at Staff Chevrolet for a while. There's a fellow over there, if he came around me and he cussed near me, then he might have said, "Sorry, preacher." And but he's his old filthy self. It wasn't like he changed. But still, sometimes if somebody thinks they're around a preacher, they might quiet and they're cussing down a little bit. Sometimes if a politician thinks that he might lose votes, they may hold back on his cussing while he's giving political speeches. Sometimes if a salesperson thinks that he might lose a sale, then he might refrain from cussing because he's afraid he's going to offend the customer and miss a sale. The fact is that all of us are going to stand before God, and we ought to be concerned about what God hears. It's not just we're going to lose a sale, we're going to lose a friend, we're going to mess our testimony up, but what about us and God? We need to be right with God. And we need to say that which is pleasing unto the Lord. Years ago, a man might have refrained from cussing around women in our day. You may find that men cuss women, but women cuss men, children cuss parents, parents cuss children, and there's just so much filthy communication that goes on. Sometimes if you are reading comments about something, you may even have a hard time understanding what all is being said. There's so much vileness in this world. And of course, in our day, the left, I was dealing with that some last night, the left has become so vile, not only in their actions and their words, they've become so vile. And so if you take a stand against abortion, or you just take some good stand, you may find that the left comes down on you hard with filthy, 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 and violent language. You and I that are saved ought not be that way. You and I that are saved ought to have clean speech. Corrupt communication proceeds from corrupt hearts.
Right.
The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Notice three times the word good. Good man, good treasure, good. Then the Bible says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. The tongue draws from the heart. The tongue is like a well bucket, as it might be said. It goes down to the heart, dips out of the heart, and brings forth that which is in the heart. I don't try to tell me you got a clean heart and a dirty mouth. If your speech is not clean, your heart is not clean.
Right.
And one of the things that people do is they treasure up things in their hearts. Now let me go back to that text just a little while. Let. Of course, we are not to allow. We are to allow no, not one bit. Corrupt. With the word corrupt, we might think about that which is rotting, that which is decomposing. We're to let no corrupt communication, or communication, the conveying or importation of information, proceed out of your mouth. If it's in your heart, that's bad enough. In fact, if it's in your heart, you got a problem. But at least don't spew it out of your mouth. It would be a blessing if some people, at least, even though they're filthy, they're hard, they would just keep their mouth shut and not say some of the things that they think. And yet so often people are so free to spew their filth out of their mouths. We might ask ourselves, do our words edify? Do our words minister grace? I want to consider a few terms. First of all, if you will, consider this term that is that we may think about when it comes to corrupt communication. First of all, filth. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Notice those words, filthy communication. Notice the words there, the Bible says, put off all these. Put them off. I've been out working, I've gotten greasy, I've gotten nasty, I'm sweaty, and so I go in, take my clothes off, get it cleaned up, and then, let's say if I want to go to bed, should I put those old nasty clothes back on? Now, when I think about the fact that a man that is saved has been forgiven, he has been cleansed, he has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why should he put that old man back on? Why not leave that old man off? Not put the old man on, but put the new man on. And you might think about a clean person after being cleaned up, putting on some new clothes, or some nice clothes, some clean clothes. I believe that we ought to be clean within and clean without. That first word is filth. Filth. Today in America, if a filthy-hearted person, a filthy-mouthed man is talking, he may be talking about something. It may really seem strange if you listen to him logically. If you are listening to him, you may hear a man that is talking about buying something or working on something or building something. He may make some very illogical statements. He may speak about the intimate relationships with a person of the opposite sex. He may talk about private parts of the body. He may talk about secretions, filthy secretions from the body. When he's talking about mechanics, or he's talking about carpentry, or he's talking about something where that stuff should not be mentioned whatsoever and doesn't even make sense to mention. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we hear over and over and over out in the world. People refer to things that are just absolutely filthy. Thank the Lord you don't see this so much right now, but who knows, it might happen. But thank the Lord if you pick up instructions for a tool, for instance. When you read the instructions for a tool, so often they're worded with some logic. In other words, they may talk about safety, and a little bit of instruction about how to use the tool. But at least it may be not just peppered with filthy words. But if you go talk to somebody on a job about the use of a tool, And you may find that his instruction to you about the use of the tool is just peppered with filthy, filthy words that have no place. If you could, let's say if a person from another country, and he had learned the basic and proper words that are used in America, if he listened to some people, he may think, I don't understand what you mean. Some of these terms that you're using, they don't make sense to me. Maybe I've never heard them, or they seem to not at all fit within the conversation. And Americans say a lot of things because of their filthy mouths and their filthy hearts. Americans say a lot of things that don't even make sense. But that's the day in which we live. There is so much filthy, filthy communication. Now, the Bible talks about that filthy, filthy communication. Filthy communication. A person that uses filthy communication ought to be ashamed of themselves. And certainly anybody that professes to be saved by the grace of God that uses filthy communications ought to be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
Then number two, I want you to consider, we'll consider this scripture. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let me ask you something. Does a filthy conversation, now I realize the word conversation, of course, can encompass a way of life, but does a filthy conversation of the wicked vex your soul? Are you just joining with them? Are you just one of them? Do you just talk like them? I believe that if our hearts are right, the filthy conversation of the wicked will vex our soul. If you've ever worked just a public job, and I've done a variety of different kinds of work. I've worked as a mechanic, I've welded, I've worked at different places, done construction work. And on the job side and working with people, sometimes I might have seen someone, maybe came to the job that was relatively clean cut, someone that seemed fairly decent. And if that person, after I've been around them for two or three days, if I had not heard that person cuss, then I might have thought, perhaps, that's a Satan. And if you're working out here on a job in the midst of a bunch of unsaved and filthy people, what a refreshment it can be to have somebody that is saved working on the same job. What a blessing it can be to have somebody that you can have some fellowship with, not on a carnal level, but on a spiritual level. And when you get out to the job, you may not agree with everything somebody believes. They may not be of the same denomination. But if a man's saved by the grace of God, you may have at least some basis of fellowship with the individual. But if I went to work for some place and I was there two or three days, and I saw a man that seemed to be relatively clean, but then I started to hear the filth flow out of his mouth, then my opinion naturally be, well, I don't think he's saved. I realize a saved man can use bad language. He shouldn't, but he can. But if a saved man uses bad language, it makes him sound like an unsaved man. And if you go on a job, you're saved by the grace of God, you have a tendency to witness to people, and you hear somebody that's, the filthy language comes out of their mouth, and you might think, well, maybe I need to give that person a try to talk to them about the Lord. We live in a day, we live in a country in which filth is so common. And I've worked as a welder, and one of the things that I have done, and there are ways sometimes to limit some of this trash from coming into your mind, and if the filthy conversation of the wicked vexes your soul, then of course you might try to find some ways to limit your exposure to it. When I was a welder, and let's say filthy music was playing and filthy language was flowing, I could do a couple of things. Number one, wear earplugs. That could help some. And then number two, sing into my welding hood. Let's say if I struck an arc, I started welding, and stuff's going on around me I didn't want to hear. Then when I started singing that welding hood, and that sound started coming back in my ears, it could help to shut some of the trash out. It's on the outside. So you may find there's some things that you can do to help stop your exposure from some of this stuff. But it is so common. It is so common around us. The second word, first of all, filth. The second word, filters. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, verses 35 through 37, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Then notice these words. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, honestly, I believe there are people out there lost, and they've been cussing so long, and they've been around people cussing so long, they're so used to it. This stuff just flows out of them. They don't even give it a thought. It's just flowing out of them. They're not thinking about what they're saying. Sometimes it might be they say things that are nasty and vile, and even violent sounding, but they don't mean them that way. The Bible talks about every idle word. Let's say, for instance, if there was a car, let's say in this community there was a vehicle, and it was spotted driving down the road, swerving from lane to lane, driving up on the curb, and cutting through parking lots, speeding, and just careening around so that people felt endangered. Well, then folks might call the police and say, this person's got to be gotten off the road. But what if there's a car out here, it's side of the road, it's just an idle one? And folks think there's nothing dangerous about this as far as just idling along. The fact is, when the Lord looks down upon us, He not only sees when we mean to be violent, when we mean to be vile, but also God looks down upon us and He sees when we are just idling along with our speech. And God knows when a man that's a cusser, the cuss word is just spilling out of him, spilling out of him. It's not though that he is trying to be extremely vile. He's just so used to it. But when we stand before the Lord, we shall be justified by our words, or we shall be condemned by our words. How would you like to be a cusser at the judgment seat of Christ? How would you like to stand before the Lord having spelled out for years vile words? Now, as far as our speech is concerned, the cusser, of course, he may not really be thinking about what he's saying. One of the things that a cusser might do, I'm talking about this idea of fillers, one of the things that a cusser might do is he might use the Lord's name as a filler. It might be that he's not even thinking about the Lord. It doesn't even make sense that he's used the Lord's name, but he just might simply use the Lord's name as a filler. Never, never, never use the Lord's name as merely a filler. You do not use the Lord's name in vain. You don't use the Lord's name uselessly. In our day, of course, maybe it slowed down a little bit, I don't know, but this idea of, oh my God, you don't need to be using that as a filler for conversation. You're not even thinking about God. I realize that David said, oh my God, in the Psalms, Psalm 24, he used the words, oh my God. And when David used the words, oh my God, he was not simply filling his conversation. The words were meant for a purpose. The Holy Spirit inspired those words. It was right for David to use those words. But you and I are not to be using the Lord's name in vain. We're not to use the name of Jesus in vain. In fact, when we think about in vain, we might think about just using it as just a common word. We should not treat the name of God as just a common word. We just toss it around. We just fill in some place. We just use it whenever we want to. And the word common is another word that we might use with the same type meaning is vulgar. It is vulgar to use the Lord's name in vain. Yes, you may find sometimes even people who profess to be saved, they might use the Lord's name in vain. Not mean it, but just be using the Lord's name in an improper way. The Bible says in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God will not hold those guiltless that use his name for no good reason, that use his name vulgarly. We certainly should be careful about how we use the name of the Lord. But say as well, you don't use the word holy in a vulgar way. You don't use the word holy in a vain way. You may hear people don't talk about holy smoke or holy this or holy that. But they don't mean the word holy. I believe we ought to even count the word holy as holy. And only use it in a holy way. So often people are using the Lord's name in vain, using the word holy in vain. Here's one thing that you might do to help. You should not use some of this filthy language, and that is, you do not treasure it in your heart. Let me go back to that scripture that I was reading from. The Bible speaks about a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Out of the good treasure. What are you treasuring in your heart? Now, I'm made out of the same stuff you are. I know that sometimes there can be things. For instance, I could be somewhere and hear something that is filthy and also strikes me as funny. Now, just because it strikes me as funny is not something I'm supposed to treasure. Sometimes you may find somebody hears an off-color joke and they treasure that joke. They hold on to it. They think it's funny and they treasure that. Sometimes somebody may hear a line from a movie that is wrong, that is filthy, that is off-color, and they may treasure that in their heart. Sometimes a person may hear a line from a song and they may treasure that in the heart instead of immediately rejecting that and immediately pushing that away, as it might be said. And I realize that sometimes the lyrics of songs may bore a hole in your mind, like a rat making a rat hole in your mind. And sometimes you may have a hard time getting rid of some of the thoughts that you have from some of the old movies, some of those songs, and so on. But immediately reject it and condemn it in your heart. You ever treasure it, then you may have an even harder time getting rid of it. Some of you, I think, could probably stand and testify that there were some things that you heard, lyrics of songs. Back before you were saved, you treasured those things. You hid them in your heart. You sung them. And now, and it might be 30, 40, 50 years later, you can go to a grocery store, some of that stuff is played, and here it comes again. We need to be careful what we treasure. You will bring forth out of your heart that which you treasure. And so we need to be careful not to treasure that which is filthy, that which is all color in our hearts. Sometimes somebody that is saved, you mean, or profess to be saved, sometimes it might be he doesn't go so far as to say what some people may think about cuss words, all cuss words. But sometimes a person that is professes to be saved, he may say things that start with the same letter and that are used in the same way as a cuss word. Sometimes a man that is professed to be saved, he may come to almost cussing, but he may have some substitute of cuss word. That's a dangerous thing to do. And you don't need words like that for filthy. You don't need to be using those kind of words. In fact, if you start using those kind of words that are close to cussing but not quite cussing, if you're not careful, you may eventually go over the line and go ahead and use a cuss word instead of the word you're trying to use a substitute. Just don't even use those words. Filth. And so, first of all, filthy or filth. Number two, fillers. And then fronts. Sometimes the cusser might use his cussing as a front. Sometimes the cusser, he might cuss because he is actually afraid. He might use it in order to act tough. He might use it as a bluff. He might use it to show or to put forth the idea he has authority that he does not have. He may actually be a weak man, a fearful man, and yet he may put his cussing out as a front, acting tough. Really not so tough at all.
Hey.
And you may find people sometimes when they're really starting to, they start wanting to push back against something, that they start throwing in the cuss words. That doesn't make a man tough.
Yeah.
But it can be used as a front. If you're so ignorant of the English language, you cannot string enough words, logical words, proper words together to make a good sentence and to prove your point, then buy a dictionary.
Hey.
There may be multitudes of English words you never use. There may be many, many English words that would fit well in conversation where you're using some of the filthy language. Why don't you? You need to buy a dictionary. Buy a dictionary and study it, learn some new words.
Hey.
Why not sound more intelligent by not cussing?
Hey.
You realize that people, so often, they're just plugging in these cuss words, and they are so illogical.
Yep.
Why not sound more intelligent by using intelligent and logical words?
Hey. Good.
So often people are putting up a front. In the book of Mark, in chapter number 14, beginning verse number 66 and through verse 72, the Bible says, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew, and the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Here the Apostle Peter did not want to be associated with Jesus. He did not want to be thought of as one of those that were with Jesus. So you know what he did to distance himself from Jesus? He lied. He swore. He cursed. He denied Christ. And the person is out here, and the man, and let's say the man, what if he is a believer, a backslidden believer? If that man lies, if that man curses, if that man swears, if he uses the Lord's name in vain, then that can cause him to look as though he is not one of Christ. He is not a follower of Christ. But if you want to be a follower of Christ, and if you want to look like a follower of Christ, you don't swear, you don't curse, you don't lie, and you don't deny Christ. Instead, you testify for Christ. So the question is, whose side do you want to be counted on? Do you want to be counted on the side of the world, or do you want to be counted with Christ? Well, Peter didn't want to be counted with Christ, and so he cursed, and swore, and lied, and denied Christ. Then the fourth word is the word fouls. Filth, and of course it fronts, fouls. As far as the word fouls, F-O-U-L-S, we might think about good words that are used wrongly. Let's say folks are out playing baseball, and there's a fella that's a good hitter, and he's standing there at home plate, and the pitcher's got a good ball, and there's a good pitch thrown, and the batter swing got a good bat. But when he hits the ball, he hits it out on to the side of the first base or the third base, so that it's a foul ball. Somebody might say, good ball, good bat, good pitch, foul ball. Sometimes people take good words, and they misuse those words. In fact, many times that's what's going on when people are cussing. Not all the time, but sometimes. They're taking good words and they're misusing those words. I'm going to give you a few examples. In the book of Mark, in chapter number 16, verse number 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. See that word, damned? That's a good word. That's a word that the Lord used properly. That's a word that can be used properly. And yet you may find that so many times today it is not used properly. That word is not to be used as an adjective along with a car or a dog or a house. But you may find that people put that word before some noun, and they may talk about something, and they may speak about it as a damned, whatever the case is. That is the foul use. That is a misuse of the word. I have no evidence that any dog is going to hell. I have no evidence that any car is damned to hell. I have no evidence that you go through a list of things that people may tag that word on. But oftentimes, I believe the person that uses that word as an adjective is damned to hell and is going to hell if he doesn't get saved by the grace of God. And of course, any man that rejects Christ all the way to the end and refuses to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is damned to hell.
Right.
I'm at this multitudes and multitudes of hell right now that have used that word over and over and over again wrongly as an adjective that they added to some particular noun. That's one of the words that people may sometimes misuse. Here's another word. Luke 16, verses 23 and 24. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, meaning torments. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Sometimes a cusser, in fact, you may hear this a lot, a cusser may tell someone else to go to hell. Now you think about it. Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for many. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ, of course, gave himself. God the Father gave the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves sinners. God wants to save sinners. But puny, filthy men, I tell other men, go to hell. And a man cannot send another man to hell. The Lord is the one that can damn a man to hell. But men cannot damn men to hell. That's one of the ways that men may misuse a good word, a Bible word. Use it in an absolute wrong. What an unchristlike thing to say. It would certainly be more Christ-like to say, come to Christ. I want you to be saved. I don't want you to go to hell. Get out of this wicked world, filthy world, foul world. Sinners may tell sinners to go to hell. Then also consider it as well. There's another word that's used in the book of Hebrews. I'll say one more thing about this thing of hell. Don't ever say that you've gone through hell on earth. You've never gone through hell on earth. You might have gone through some hard things. I understand that. Sometimes people may go through things that be hard to comprehend how bad they are. But you've never gone through hell on earth. No person has ever gone through hell on earth. Unless if we want to count Jesus Christ suffering for the hell of all men of all times, you and I have not had hell on earth. Right. There's been no man on earth that he opened his eyes, being in torments, suffering the pains and the suffering of hell forever, damned to hell. You don't go through that on earth. This next word, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Beginning with verse number 5 through verse number 8, my son, despise not that thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Notice the Bible talks about the chastening of the Lord. Then it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now it is certain that the Lord chastens his children. Then the Bible goes on to say this, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The Bible goes on to say, but if ye are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now there's another word that the world may misuse. And sometimes they may use it as a derogatory term towards someone that has been born out of wedlock. I say this about every baby that's ever been born out of wedlock, it's not their fault. I realize sometimes it might have been because of a situation of royalty. It might have been someone that posed as though that was illegitimately born, that posed as though that they should be in royalty. And that word as well can be used, as be defined as a fake, a phony, a fraud. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, And you willingly and knowingly cuss. Back up. If you say you're saved by the grace of God and you willingly and knowingly cuss, and God doesn't chasten you, you're not saved.
Hey, right.
I believe there's a lot of fakes, a lot of phonies. I mean, a lot of people profess to be saved. And a great evidence that they've never been saved by the grace of God is God is not chastening them. And a cusser that professes to be saved, willingly and knowingly goes on cussing and is not chastened, is lost.
Hey.
He is not saved. The Bible says, book of James, chapter number 3, verses 8 through 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of death and poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Don't not be any person, saved that is a cusser. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It should not be that you go around and at times you talk about Jesus and you talk about the Lord, and sometimes you start cussing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Cussing is not Christian.
Hey.
And by the way, I'll say this, as far as cussing from the pulpit, sometimes you may hear this attitude of Christian cussing, people from the pulpit that are supposed to be preaching and yet at the same time they're using foul language, that is not Christian.
Hey.
There is no such thing as Christian cussing.
Hey.
And it should not be tolerated behind the pulpit. And it shouldn't be tolerated here, but especially behind the pulpit. Foul language ought not be. Let no, absolutely none, corrupt, decaying, rotten communication proceed out of your mouth. What did God say about cussing? He's against it.
Okay.
Wrong for a man to be a cusser. You heard a man's testimony to be a cusser. And of course, we're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord hears every word we say. Either we're just idling along, we let one slip. And sometimes people may try to be cute about it and say, well, pardon my French. Or somebody might say, yeah, I used a few choice words. I know you're trying to cover it up.
Yep.
You filled them out, you just filled them out.
Yep.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Will.